Well, thanks very much, worship team, and great to have you here, church, this morning. Love you guys, and wasn't that great with Antonio's baptism? And as Chris mentioned, he's wants to be prime minister someday, and I took him a few months back, actually, to meet Premier Christy Clark and some of the cabinet ministers and the faith leaders meeting some of the politicians. And Antonio was a hit there, mainly because of his age. And, God's got great things in store for him. And so hope God's got great things in store for you, too, in your journey. And if baptism is part of that, let us know, or something else, how we can come alongside you in what God has for you. Now, we got a little problem this morning as I preach on hope. Last Sunday, we wrapped up our series, Love Your Neighbor. And as I was preaching here, five times the normal rate of overdoses happened in our city last weekend. Friends, we have a problem. Because what happens out there has to affect what happens in here. And what happens in here has to impact what happens out there. And so more than 80 overdoses this week in Surrey. Record number of 911 calls regarding overdose this week in the lower mainland. So we can't just do business as usual. I don't know what that means for us, but we're going to start by just praying. So let's do that. Oh, gracious God. Even as we talk about hope this morning, well, we're well aware of those on our streets who have lost all hope, who are in the midst of despair, and maybe even who don't feel that life is worth living anymore. And we recognize as followers of you that we are in a battle. We are in a warfare over life and death in our region. And Jesus, we believe that you, as the giver of life, wants to speak life into our city and into our area. Oh God, we'd ask that you would do that. We'd ask that you would guide those in government and those who are making decisions. We'd ask that you would guide those who are front lines and those who are working and those who are volunteers. We pray that you would speak to us as a church how we are meant to respond. Because we do want to be a church that loves our neighbor. We don't want to talk about it. We want to do it. Each person we believe bears your image. Thank you, God, what you're going to do. And God, for ourselves this morning, as we've gathered to worship you and to hear your word, you know what's going on in each of our lives, each of our relationships, each of our hearts. And I pray you would speak. Amen. Remember 2 weeks ago we had the Operation Christmas Child boxes up here, 212 of them. And Pastor Chris, when he had made the announcement a couple weeks prior, he said, hey, a great thing to include is soccer balls. He said, soccer balls and soccer pump is a great thing to include. And then Paul Unger from our church and Rec for Kids ended up donating a bunch of soccer balls. So some of us took those soccer balls, but we ended up having a bunch of soccer balls left over. And so when Evelyn Schellenberg, who's our point person on Operation Christmas Child, together her and Walter and Rochelle came to pack up the boxes and bring them over to the Collection Surrey at Surrey Alliance. They had the soccer ball, the extra soccer balls, and this is what she wrote to us. She says, we waffled about taking the soccer balls along because we didn't have pumps for them. Without pumps, they're just pieces of rubber. But we took them anyhow along with our shoeboxes. On the way, I prayed about the deflated balls and asked for pumps. At Surrey Alliance, we were told to bring the balls in and they would be shipped off to the depot in Calgary and they would decide what to do with them. While we were there, a woman came up and told us she had a carload of pumps. What are the odds, church? What are the chances? And I love stories like that because that's only God, right? Other things you kind of wonder about sometimes, and it's not something that just happened over in some faraway place that you can't verify. You can ask Evelyn or Walter Rochelle on that. That really happened, and that is just so cool. Christmas is about miracles, and it's about hope. And so we're going to launch our Advent series, which I'm calling The Words of Christmas. And so we're going to start this morning with the word hope. And I know it's hard to believe it's Advent already and less than 30 days till Christmas. But yeah, we'll get into it, and we have already got into it. Now, do you have a favorite Christmas movie? One that you like watching either alone or with others? Favorite Christmas movie? For our family, it's Elf. We just kind of like Elf. I like The Polar Express. I love that one. In terms of about the Nativity, I like the Nativity story, that Christmas movie. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie? It's a Wonderful Life. How many have seen that one? That's a classic, if there's any classic. And there's a line in that movie where George Bailey... he's down, and then his guardian angel Clarence is sent down to him with these words: "Is he sick? No, worse. He's discouraged." And some of us maybe this Christmas season are discouraged. Instead of the mistletoe, we've got misery. Instead of Christmas cheer, we've got cynicism in our heart. But we trust that this morning, as we look at God's Word, it'll inspire you in this area of hope. So why don't you turn with me in your Bible, or turn on your mobile device and sign into YouVersion. Romans chapter 15, you can follow along there on YouVersion, or use the paper outline in your bulletin. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, I'm just going to start by reading verse 4 there. Paul writes these words: "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope." So he says, as we look at the Old Testament, the story of God's narrative, all the stuff that's written there, it's meant to give us hope. And then he goes on to quote kind of a number of Old Testament verses, in fact, four of them. He pulls a verse from 2 Samuel, he pulls another verse from Deuteronomy, another verse from the Psalms, and then we'll pick it up in Isaiah. Verse 12, sorry. And again, Isaiah says, so you have a fourth quote: "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will have hope." And so here's this quote from Isaiah 11. And so another quote from Isaiah. Yeah, earlier the kids read us from Isaiah also. And so he says the root of Jesse, that Jesse was David's father, one's going to arise who's going to be the ruler. And it's in him, and it's referring to this Messiah. In him the Gentiles will have hope. That's us who are grafted into God's great plan. So 700 years before Christ came, there was this prophecy, this hope, that God was going to break in a new way. And then Paul breaks out into a prayer after quoting these four passages. And his prayer is in verse 13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And so this prayer, it's what we're going to look at this morning, and it's what I've been praying for you this week, and perhaps you want to make it your prayer this morning. That may the God of hope fill you. He's saying that God is the source of our hope. Not only is God the object of our hope, but God is the subject of our hope, the foundation. And the danger is that we will place our hope in something or someone other than God. Because there's all kinds of things that offer us kind of fake hope, right? You go through the mall and you see the lottery kiosk, and there's that promise of hope that, you know, if you win the 649, that somehow your life will change. And sometimes we can have this kind of a blind optimism, a wishful thinking, and it's even how we use the word hope, which is very different than how the biblical writers use the word hope, which I'll get to in a second. But we say things like, "I hope it turns out," or "I hope I pass the test," or "I hope I get the promotion at work," and it's kind of wishful thinking. And like I said, very different from the biblical writers. Sometimes we look around to us at our circumstances and we think, oh, you know, I'm putting my hope because things are good now. But again, those circumstances can change very rapidly. Sometimes we put our hope in financial security and we think, oh, just I'll look at my equity in my home or look at my paycheck or look at my investments. But again, that can fluctuate. Sometimes we put our hope in a relationship, and sometimes we have certain expectations of a relationship that this person will satisfy us, and sometimes we put that expectation that they can't fulfill because only God can fulfill those things in our heart. And then when the relationship sours or it fractures, we again find ourselves longing for a lasting hope. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you. That God ought to be the source of our hope because he never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hope is only as strong as its source. Like I said, we tend to speak of hope in kind of wavering terms. We have kind of doubt, you know, or uncertainty. I hope it doesn't rain in December. Well, good luck with that one. When the biblical writers use the word hope, for them, hope focuses upon God, the God who's the source of hope and the God who fulfills his promises to us. And it's in him we put our hope. I want to put the Greek word up on the screen. The Greek word that Paul uses here and the New Testament writers use for the word hope is the word elpis. El and then peace. Elpis. Everybody say that. Elpis. That word hope that's used, like I said, is very different than the wavering, the doubtful word that we use. When we say, I hope the Canucks make the playoffs, you know, that's a doubtful kind of thing, right? You know, but the biblical writers speak of hope with a real certainty that God is going to fulfill his promise. And so we see it. That word elpis is only used 5 times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Why? Because the source of hope was there. The object of hope was right there. Jesus walked among them. But then Jesus dies, he rises, goes back to heaven, and then the New Testament writers, as they're writing, they use that word elpis 70 times, again and again, referring to Christ as the source of hope, including 2 times in our verse here. And so we put our hope not in wishful thinking, not in circumstances, not in anything that we can see, but rather in Christ. So I say, church, who or what are you putting your hope in? Not circumstances, right? It's like somebody once had a conversation at church and said, well, how are you doing? And the other guy said, well, not bad under the circumstances. To which the first guy said, what are you doing under there? Because we don't live under circumstance. We don't live with a circumstantial hope. Hope is a confident expectation that God is willing and able to fulfill the promises he's made to you. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And we have trust in the one who's the source of our hope. May the God of hope fill you. As we start this Advent season, I say, look up to God. Have you been walking by sight? Have you just kind of looked around at your circumstances, looked around at your relationships, looked around at where you live and say, this is it? Or are you taking your eyes and looking with spiritual eyes to him who came to you that first Christmas, the one who gives you hope? Lean into him. Press into him emotionally. Hang your security onto him because he is faithful. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And so we have hope as the foundation. And then Paul writes that joy and peace kind of spring out of hope. That hope, in a sense, is the starting point of the gospel. He says something similar in Colossians 1:15 or 1:5. Faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven. And so the fruit of the Spirit, such as love, or here he mentions in this verse, joy and peace, spring out of this foundation of hope. And how do we experience that joy and peace? By being people of hope. Because being people of hope makes all the difference in our lives. Let me suggest four ways that you and I, as we experience Christmas hope, it changes our lives. First one is that Christmas hope means that I'm no longer a prisoner of my track record. See, the angel said to Joseph that very first Christmas concerning Mary, the angel said, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That prophecy about this child, that he's going to be a savior, that he's going to forgive us from our sins. See, sometimes our track records can look pretty depressing, can't they? We kind of set a standard and we don't meet the standard. We raise the bar, but we don't meet the bar and it comes crashing down. And the end result is we can be filled with self-condemnation, shame, not forgiving ourselves. But Christ comes to you this first Advent Sunday and says, you are forgiven. Don't look to your failures. Look instead to Christ, the source of hope. Because that baby Jesus was given by the wise men gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm sure Mary thought, myrrh? Embalming fluid? What kind of Christmas gift is that? Some diapers and a sleeper might be a little better. But this baby that came with an intent purpose to die on your behalf and on my behalf. Behind the stable is the cross. The cross that he came for you and me. Christmas hope means that we can know our sins are forgiven. So you and I, we don't have to atone for our own sins. We don't have to live in our guilt and in our shame. Let Christ set you free. Experience his forgiveness, his cleansing. Be made new through him. That Christmas hope means we don't have to go forward looking in the rearview mirror. Your past is your past. And also means as you look forward, you can have faith in the future. Christmas hope means we can have faith in the future. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I love that. It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just pie in the sky. It's not just dreaming. It's not just wishing upon a star. It's genuine hope. El peace. Charles Swindoll says, hope is a confident expectation of receiving something good from God. Maybe you're going through hard times right now. Maybe you're even dreading this Christmas season. Maybe it'll mean conflict in family or whatever. I say look to Christ as the source of your hope. When you choose hope, anything is possible. Hope in the future. For today, for tomorrow, and forever. Because Christmas hope means that even death itself, we don't need to fear. Because the one who came that first Christmas conquered death. And because he's alive, we can be people of hope. That our eternal future is secure. Since he lives, we will live. Choose Christmas hope. Christmas hope means I can have confidence in God's timing. I put on your outline Galatians 4:4. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. You can circle that phrase, right time. God waited for the right time. God always knows the right time. And they had been waiting for thousands of years. We were at a baby shower on Thursday evening for one of the Assyrian families, the refugee families. That she just had a baby. The baby was in church here actually for our last halal lunch. And so we celebrated together with this family and with some other refugee families. And one of the ladies from our discipleship group asked, in Syria, do they have baby showers? And, well, they don't. And I don't know if they did in the Older Testament either, if they had baby showers. But I'm sure most Jewish mothers would look down at their baby boy and ask themselves a question. Is this the one? Is he the Savior? Is he the one? There's a sense of expectation and expectancy that Christ, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior will come. And Galatians 4 says, at just the right time, God waited till Pax Romana, that period of history where there was peace in our world. And he looked down and he saw a young engaged couple, Joseph and Mary, and said, now is the right time for my son to come. See, often in the scriptures, with the word hope that I looked up this week, the word waiting is often used with it. Psalm 130 verse 5 would be an example. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. We've got wait and hope. And perhaps this Christmas, God's got you in a season of waiting. That happens. It's frustrating, isn't it? Because God's timetable is far different than my timetable. I usually want things faster, and God's more interested in things like character development and silly stuff like that, you know? And I'm like, God maybe has you in the season of waiting. Press into Him, because He'll fill you with hope as you wait upon Him. As you look not maybe to your own timing or to present circumstances, but look to Him, His perfect timing. Choose Christmas hope. God's word is good. His timing is the right timing. And then fourthly, choosing Christmas hope means I can persevere through the tough times. Romans 8:25, I put on your outline, if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. You can circle hope, circle perseverance. That perhaps, again, there's some tough stuff that you're slugging through. Maybe it's at work, or maybe it's the fact that you don't have work, or maybe it's family issues with kids or with parents. Maybe it's financial struggles, whatever it may be, to persevere, to hang in there, to have hope. Hope, H-O-P-E. Hang on, pray expectantly. To be people who persevere. That one way of choosing hope is to simply hang tough, knowing that God will see you through. God's going to make a way. Hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. Paul goes on to say, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us that the supply of hope is unlimited. That it's not just a cup of hope. It's not just a gallon of hope. It's not just a bathtub of hope. It's not just a Pacific Ocean full of hope. That this endless supply of the God of hope is going to keep filling you with hope, whatever you may face. And we need it, right? We need it. Because in the words of D.L. Moody, we leak. I leak every day. I say something I shouldn't say. I think something I shouldn't think. I don't do the good I know I ought to do. And I leak the Holy Spirit. And so God needs to fill me. God needs to fill us up with the Holy Spirit. As you and I trust in Him, He says we will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God knows that we need that. That through Christ, through the incarnation, Jesus becoming one of us, we can be people of hope. And so whatever adversity you're facing this Christmas season, choose hope, because hope will get you through. Are you feeling lost this Advent season? Hope will triumph. Hang on to that hope. Are you feeling a melancholy in your spirit? Hope is the currency to lift your spirits. Do you feel like the music in your soul is left? Hope is that dancing music that's going to revive you. Are you spiritually hungry? Hope is the bread of life for your hunger. Are you feeling up against a wall, feeling like you can't this Christmas season? Let me remind you what God's book says. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Hope comes to you through I can. Are you facing fear this Advent season? Hope is the grace for your fears, knowing the one who's greater than your fears. Are you feeling darkness in your soul? Don't curse the darkness, but instead hang on to hope, and that hope will be a light in your darkness. Friends, whatever you're facing, God comes to you in hope. In your life and in my life. Why don't we stick the prayer back on the screen? Changed it this time, but taking the you and turning it to me. Let's make that our prayer. Let's read it together. May the God of hope fill me with all joy and peace as I trust in Him, so that I may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we pray that? Maybe you, right now, God brought you here. Like I said, I've been praying that for you this week. And maybe He wants to speak a word of hope into your life right now. Let's go to quiet prayer. Maybe you want to just repeat that phrase or just reflect on a word in there. Or maybe the word hope, or just let God speak to you right now. Oh, Jesus, I thank You that You came that first Christmas. And I thank You that You still keep coming. Keep coming into our lives, our circumstances, our relationships, our church. You come into our very souls. You come and You offer hope. And You know those of us this morning who are needing that dose of hope. You know, Jesus, those of us who are feeling a sense of hopelessness, feeling far from You, and You're going to come and meet with us. Thank You, Jesus, that You still come. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You still fill us. And may we be the church that You've called us to be, the people who are filled with Your hope. And we in turn dispense that hope to those around us. Amen.